Lord, we thank you for Martin. Thank you that he is a gift to us. Thank you for all that he brings in his oversight of us as a church and as a leadership team. And Lord, I pray this morning as he speaks, Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would take his words and, Lord, they would find good soil in our hearts. Lord, would we be encouraged and challenged in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great. Well, fantastic to be with you. I want to speak with you this morning. The title is up there. Title is Living as Pioneers. And I want to suggest to you that every single one of us faces a choice. We have the choice of settling with what is or believing God and going for more. I want to suggest to you that every Christian should see themselves not as a settler, but as a pioneer. Every Christian should see themselves taking new ground in their personal life and walk with Christ in the area of holiness and devotion, in family life and in marriage. We should be continually looking to take ground and be more Christ-like. We should be looking to take more ground in the church, and we should be looking to continually take ground outside of the church, in the world, in whatever context God has placed us into. In fact, I want to suggest that the concept of pioneering and continually taking more ground rather than simply settling with what is actually the essence of discipleship. It's one and the same things. Of course, the book that brings that whole concept of taking new ground to life more than any other is the book of Joshua. And so I want to just start this morning by reading some verses from chapter 1, and then I'll make some points from there. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 reads, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses, and your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" I want to share with you simply this morning five principles for living as pioneers. If you want to live as those that don't just settle with what is, but in your Christian walk, right up until the day you die, are continually living with a vision to take more ground in every area of your life for Christ, then these five principles, if you can live by these, it will help you to be productive rather than unproductive in your faith, and to take hold of all that God has promised you when you first got saved. So here's the first principle of living as a pioneer. You have to be clear on what God has promised. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 4, God said this to Joshua. He said, "Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." So we have to see that right at the outset, set, God was very clear and God was very specific the ground that he wanted Joshua to take, the land that he had promised him. And I want to suggest to you that because Joshua was crystal clear on what and where God had promised, there was a certainty and a confidence that he could have continually, that he was lining up with God and that God was with him. And that certainty and that confidence was very important in persevering, in overcoming and being courageous when that land was difficult to take. Some of you will have heard of our training academy that we set up a number of years called Academy 313. Academy 313, over the last years, we've become as a church an educational centre recognised by EdExcel, BTEC, National Open College Network. We can deliver qualifications right through to, from basic qualifications right through to vocational post-grad qualifications. We're also recognised by the government, the Skills Funding Agency, as a training provider. Huge number of opportunities that we have had and do have. The government pays us to train and share Christ with unemployed people and all sorts of things. Anyway, the point is, you can begin to know the number of hoops we've had to jump through with Ofsted and government bodies and educational people over the last 9 years. I couldn't begin to tell you the number of obstacles we had come up against. Now we've got the Ministry of Justice visiting us because of the unique things we're doing with people that are on community service and all sorts of things are happening. But I want to tell you, it's been a journey. And we have hit problem after problem, difficulty after difficulty. But what's enabled us to persevere is this. 9 years ago, God spoke to us prophetically and said very clearly that he wanted our place to be our centre, to be a train station. Someone brought that to us prophetically, along with some other prophetic words. It was to be a train station. Then they said, actually, we see many people getting off trains and getting off onto platforms, and we don't only see that. They said out of that, this is not actually a train station, it's a training station. There's going to be many people that God wants to come in, not just Christians, non-Christians as well. People from across the nation, people from across the nations. That prophetic word and the clarity with which God spoke to us enabled us to persevere on this journey over 9 years. And when I see our place starting to be filled with people from different nations being trained from across Europe and people from all different walks of life, in and out, non-Christians hearing the gospel as we're educating them and giving them job prospects and qualifications, I think, wow, God, what have you done? We have taken ground for you and we're taking more ground for you in this area, and there's lots more to come. But the basis of being able to do that was being crystal clear on what God had said and promised. Now, that concept of being clear on what God has promised is not simply relevant for us as sort of a corporate church. It's also very important at an individual level. So, you know, the promises in Scripture about coming free from sin have been very important for me over the years to be clear on. Because when I've come against areas of sin in my life where I keep sinning and not coming free, and areas of sin in my life where I think, oh, am I ever going to get free of this? Is this ever going to change in my life? I have dug into the promises of God. Those promises which says the Son came to set me free. That the truth will set me free. That sin shall not be my master. That Christ came to set me free from being a slave to sin, and that I could be a slave to Christ. I have kept clear on those promises all my life, and therefore wherever I seem to get stuck, I dig down into God and say, but God, you promised. This does not have to tether me down and keep coming back and sort of trapping me and shaping my life. Even the other day, there was a particular area of my life where I felt I was struggling to get some grace and struggling to find peace in a particular area that was troubling me. And I read 2 Peter 1, verse 2, where Peter says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." So I thought to myself, God promises peace and grace in abundance. I'm not settling with the scrag ends of peace and grace for this situation. So ever since that day, in this particular arena, I've been praying, Lord, peace and grace in abundance. This is the land you promised me. Actually, we're in the process as an eldership team of going back through all the prophetic words over the last 15 years to our church and cataloguing them, because we can only take ground that we're clear Christ has promised us. It's that clarity of promise that enables us to persevere, overcome, and be tenacious. That's true for you as a church. That's true for your leadership team. That's true right down to your life individually, in your passion and walk in holiness and devotion and all the other things that God wants for you. So, second principle. Firstly, be clear on what God has promised. Secondly, be very strong and courageous. Well, that's a surprise, isn't it? You would expect that one to be in there. Joshua chapter 1, 6 to 7 and verse 9. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. 3 times in this chapter, God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Why? Fear keeps you out of the land, but courage and faith takes you in. And if you're unsure about that, then read Numbers 13, read Hebrews chapter 4, and understand that when they were promised the land, but when they got into fear, it actually kept them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Fear keeps you out of the land, courage takes you in. Doing what God says to take the ground God wants to give us takes courage. I was in a meeting a few months ago. Actually, I was in a prayer and fasting day for all our... By the way, when it came to naming our sphere of Salt and Light churches in the Northeast, the name that we chose was Taking Ground. And it was really a statement saying this: whatever happens, we're going to constantly be grateful for what is, but we are never settling with what is. We are taking ground all the time, 24/7. That's what we're about. Anyway, that's a little side thing. But what I was saying, I was with the Taking Ground church leaders for a day of prayer and fasting together, and we had a time of communion. And in that time of communion, it was sort of a devotional, quiet time. We started breaking bread. People were just being reflective. And then as I'm sat there, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, go up to the communion table and take communion again. And I thought, I can't do that. What will people think? I mean, what will they think? They'll think, what's he doing going up twice? You don't go up twice. Anyway, I thought, well, the Holy Spirit's telling me. So I put aside what people thought, and I went up and I took communion again. And I went back to my seat, prayed. Then I'm sat there, and I feel the Holy Spirit says, go and take it again. Well, now I'm really unhappy. But the other thing is, it's a day of fasting. and it even goes through my head, I think these leaders are going to think that I'm getting round the fasting bit by keep going and taking the communion bread. And I'm just sat there, I'm arguing with God, God, please don't make me go up a third time. It's just going to be embarrassing. God said, go up a third time. Do you know what he said to me? Take the biggest piece of the loaf you've ever taken in your life. So I went up the third time the communion table and I took this whacking great piece, I mean almost half the loaf, and I ate it. And as I was sat there, you know, God, what was that about? I felt the Holy Spirit say two things to me. One, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I always want you to be hungry for me, the bread of life. However much you've had, always go back, come back for more. And then the other thing that I felt the Holy Spirit was said to me is you will never be able to lead people where I want you to lead them if you fear what people think. Fear keeps you out. Faith takes you in. A number of years ago, I was still doing a half day of medicine, which was bringing in some significant finances into the household. For a number of years, I'd been doing a day of medicine, then cut it down to a half. But it was bringing in some significant money to our income, monthly income. And then God spoke to me and said, actually, I want you to stop doing the medicine completely. But he happened to say it in the year when our church had got into difficulties financially and where each of the staff, including myself, had to take a 25% pay cut. Of all the years God could speak to me about giving up medicine, this was the worst possible time. He could have said it. I was fearful. We will not be able to make ends meet. But again, I knew if God was speaking, fear would keep me out, but faith would take me in. And by faith, you know, we gave that medicine up. I mean, cut a long story short, within 2 weeks, from three incredibly unexpected sources where no one knew the step we'd taken or what was going on, apart from a couple of fellow elders and Steve Thomas, right, within 2 weeks, we had the exact amount of money that we would have earned in a year of medicine. In fact, it was £20 short. And I asked God where the £20 was. And I got a check the next day for 30. So I was 10 quid in pocket. Leading TVC Church and taking ground is an expansive apostolic vision, but it always involves risks and courage with people, finances, product. You can't take the ground God wants you to take as a leadership, as a church, as a sphere, as individuals, if you're going to play it safe. Playing it safe don't take you in. Giving way to fear don't take you in. Keeps you out. Third principle of living as a pioneer: don't compromise on obedience. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. The call of God is that we don't compromise on obedience. We need to do it as God says. Because obedience is associated with taking ground, but disobedience and compromise is associated with losing ground. You see that in Joshua chapter 7, when they were defeated at Ai. And they were defeated at Ai because Achan had taken things that had belonged to the Lord and had compromised on obedience. And it meant that they weren't able to take ground that God actually had promised them. You see the same in Numbers 20, when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And that kept him out of some of the promises in the land that God wanted him to go into. In contrast, when they did it God's way and how God said, however ridiculous that seemed, like marching 7 times around Jericho and blowing their trumpets, or crossing the Jordan in flood, when they did it exactly as God said, then God gave them ground that would not have been able to be taken in the natural. At a personal level, I absolutely know that my ability to lead our church and to lead the taking ground sphere has got nothing to do with my gifting or performance. It's got everything to do with my personal behind-the-scenes life. my obedience behind the scenes, my holiness behind the scenes, whether I walk, how I walk in sexual purity, how I walk in with alcohol, things that would have been a struggle if I hadn't been Christian. How I work with those things is very important. My heart responses, my attitudes, my reactions, how I think, how I speak, how I'm if I'm doing what God has said, these are the most important things when it comes to me leading a people to take new ground. In fact, I was recently, Mike Beaumont, who's Mike and Liz Beaumont, who are part of our church in Teesside, doing an absolutely fantastic job up there. Mike does a lot of the preaching for us. He was preaching a Sunday message. I can't quite remember what it was on. Actually, I think it was on Cain and Abel, but at one point, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, he wanted me to increase my generosity. You've done the generosity adventure. I felt, you know, God wanted me, spoke to me. So I responded in the meeting and I went forward, you know, responded to God. Yes, Lord, you're speaking to me about giving more money away. And I felt the Holy Spirit say something specific to me. I felt him say, I want you to set up an account. I want you to put a certain amount of money in it. And I want you to add a certain amount every month. And I want you to give that away as and where I tell you to give it. This is, of course, on tithing is financial faithfulness. On top of the tithe is financial is generosity. We understand that. So I felt God say that to me. A few weeks later, I'm thinking, you know, like I didn't tell anyone what God said. A few weeks later, after the moment, you know, well, did God really say? And did he say that amount? And did he say that amount monthly? And I started to think to myself, maybe that was like some sort of rush in the moment, some sort of emotional thing. And I started to find that I was talking myself out of it. And at a certain point, I just went, oh no, no, no. Obedience takes you in. Disobedience keeps you out. If I won't respond to the promptings of God and stay true to what I commit myself to, nobody will know about it, but God will. Obedience takes you in, but compromise and disobedience keeps you out. Always respond to what God's saying. Do it as God says. Number four. I think we're doing all right. We're keeping on time here. Number four, take it in steps. Joshua 1, chapter 3 simply says, I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. If you read the book of Joshua, which I'd encourage you to do if you haven't, and if you have, I'd still encourage you to read it again. It's always something new to learn from it. The land was not taken in one go. It was actually taken step by step. In my life, some things of my life stopped and changed dramatically and all at once. Other things, in fact, most things in my life, the land has actually been taken step by step. So, before I was a Christian, before I was a Christian as a teenager, for various reasons, things that were going on in my life, in the home, in the house, pornography was a really big issue. When I got saved, it stopped and didn't go there until the internet came back. And then there were fresh temptations. And for a bit of time, this is, you know, 10 years of being a Christian or something, actually, I got into a bit of a struggle with looking at internet pornography. And, you know, I went back to those promises. Hey, this is not where you've called me to live. Don't call me to live here. You know, I need to come free of this. And actually, you know, I embarked on a journey of coming free, but coming free of that was not a sudden sort of all happened in a moment like it did when I was saved. It's because the temptation was constantly there before me. The coming free was actually a step-by-step process. Actually, over the next year and a half, couple of years, you know, and it was practical steps like having codes and locks put on computers and all those sorts of things, and being very accountable and very open, you know. And then it went from there to happening very, very occasionally and just a short amount. But step by step, I got completely free, you know. And so now I live, there's no need for any locks or anything anywhere, etc., etc. And for many, many years, you know, that's not been an issue in my life. But I'm simply saying that there are many areas in my life where the ground has had to be taken one step at a time. We believe in Tees Valley Community Church to see thousands of people saved and added. Sometimes people can say, how's that going to happen? And I say, how's it going to happen? One person at a time. How's it going to happen? How are we going to reach each person? Actually, one step at a time. How are we going to demonstrate the love of God? We're going to demonstrate it by one act of kindness at a time. Recently, our Academy 313 was working in York, delivering a contract there to help some people. And there were some people that had not been employed for many years. And one of the guys that was there, a guy called Will Horner, that's leading a young man that's leading our church plant in York, he was there that day, and he took an interest in one of the guys, you know. And a week later, Will Horner texts this guy and asked him how he was getting on in a particular situation. This guy was gobsmacked that Will Horner remembered his name, let alone took the time to contact him and to take an interest in him. The next day when he came onto the course, the first thing he came in and said was, can I have a Bible? Can I have a Bible? Come, someone talk to me and explain to me about the Bible. What was going on? One little act of kindness that started to see ground taken. Don't be overwhelmed by the size of the task. And don't despise small steps, because most new ground has been taken step by step. And the final point, actually, that didn't work quite right. Yeah, the final point is, so be clear on what God's promised. Be very strong and courageous. Don't compromise on obedience. Take it in steps. And then finally, expect God to give you new ground. Here's some verses from some chapters towards the end of Joshua's life when he's 110 years old. I love this first verse in 23:14. It's just an incredible testimony. We sort of heard this morning. We sung about it. You're never going to let me down. Joshua says, 110 years of age, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. And then Joshua 24, verse 3. So God gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. The basis of our expectation when it comes to seeing new ground taken is very simple. It's that God's faithful and true to his promises. If he promises he's going to give you something, then we can trust those promises because he fulfills his promises. Let me read you a little bit about Hudson Taylor, the pioneer who was always looking to take new ground. A man who met God's promises with faith, saw those promises delivered on, and saw an amazing amount of new ground taken for Christ. Born May 21st, 1832 in Barnsley, England, into a devout Methodist home, At the age of 17, he was dramatically converted through the prayers of his mother. Keep praying, mums. At the age of 21, he sailed for the first time to China as a missionary. China was virtually completely unreached by the gospel at that time. On a return visit to England in 1865, he wrote this in his journal. He wrote, "On Sunday, June the 25th, 1865, unable to bear the sight of a congregation of 1,000 or more Christian people rejoicing in their own security, while millions were perishing for lack of knowledge, I wandered out on the sands alone in great spiritual agony." Actually, he walked onto Brighton Beach that day and was walking along Brighton Beach. And he says, "And there the Lord conquered my unbelief and I surrendered myself to God for his service. I told him that all responsibility as to the issues and consequences must rest with him, that as his servant it was mine to obey and to follow him, his to direct, to care for, and to guide me and those who might labor with me. Need I say that peace at once flowed into my burdened heart? There and then I asked him for 24 fellow workers, 2 for each of the 11 inland provinces, which were without a missionary, and 2 for Mongolia. And writing the petition on the margin of the Bible I had with me, I returned home with a heart enjoying rest, such as it had been a stranger to for months." So out of that encounter with God at the age of 33 years of age, he set up the missions agency called the Inland China Mission. He set it up with just £10 on the base of God, having given him some outrageous promises about taking new ground, about saving China, and financially providing for all the needs of the work he was going to establish. At the time of Hudson Taylor's death, in 1905, the China Inland Mission was an international body with 825 missionaries living in all 18 provinces of China, with more than 300 mission stations and more than 25,000 Christian converts. And as a missionary society, it never sent out requests for money and it never went into any debt. And just over 100 years later, in a country where people are seriously persecuted for their faith, there are, according to Open Doors, an estimated 97 million Christians in China. A man who said, "I'm not going to live as a settler." There's ground to be taken for Christ. Just about a year and a half ago, we had been, for some time, feeling there was a gap in our team. A gap in our team, particularly when it came, we had lots of clear promises about what God was saying in terms of taking new ground, but we had a gap in our team in terms of someone that could help us strategically implement those visions and promises and step by step move to seeing them fulfilled. It was a clear gap. We saw it as a team, prayed for 2 years, saying, "God, our team has everything it needs, but this is a gap." Prayed for 2 years. For the second of those 2 years, I felt God put a particular person's name. Actually, Linda and myself felt a particular person's name. We didn't really know them, but we knew they were quite good in this arena. And we just prayed into it. Probably for another 6 months, this name kept coming back to us. They were based in Oxford. And then, towards the end of those 2 years, Linda said to me, you're going to have to say something to them, because in the 2 years we've been praying, it's the only name that's consistently come to us when we've prayed. So I asked a couple of people's permission, whose church they were in, and whose sphere they were in, spoke to Steve Thomas, one or two others, and a series of people said, "Well, you can ask him, but he's so well embedded here and doing such a fantastic job and so fulfilled, and more opportunities are coming his way, it's never going to be land you get," sort of thing. So by the time I came to contacting him, I had about zero faith that he would respond in any positive way at all. And I had a Skype with him, and I sort of dribbled out, we have this gap in our team, and I've been praying and I've wondered about you doing it, but you really don't want to do it. It's a load of rubbish. Why am I even on this call? I mean, really, that's how it went. He said to me, I'm really interested and open to what you're saying. I was shocked. But why was he interested and open? Because 10 days before I called, he'd been in this place for 15 years on staff. Nothing had changed. He'd never ever thought of going anywhere else. 10 days before we made that call, his wife Anna had been walking the dog, and out of the blue, she felt the Holy Spirit say to her, there's a job change coming for your husband, and it's going to involve a significant geographical move. But he won't need to go looking for it. It's going to come to him. And she was so powerfully impacted by this, she went home, she told Matt about it, and they wrote it down. And then 10 days later, I rang. And within a matter of months, God opened doors, their whole family have been relocated. And actually, he's in place, and he's helping us to take new land and new ground. Now, what's the point of what I'm saying here? The point of what I'm saying is not look and see who you can poach from somewhere else. That's not the point of what I'm saying. I suppose the point of what I'm saying is our God is a remarkable, supernatural working God. But you have to work with him supernaturally. If you just live and stay in the natural or just settle with what is, you'll never know the adventure. Or you may have known the adventure in the past, but you don't live in the adventure now. Right? But wherever he promises and says, go take that ground, he has the provision and the means and the grace and the way to enable that to happen. For you personally, for you as a church, for you as a sphere. So my encouragement to you this morning is don't live as settlers. Always be grateful for what is, but don't settle with what is. Live as pioneers. And live as pioneers by continuing always to be clear on what God has promised. Live as pioneers by continually not giving way to fear or comfort, but being strong and courageous. Not compromising on obedience, taking it in steps because most of it is gained by steps. And in the midst of living in those principles, be expectant that our God, who makes these outrageous promises to us and to many other saints down the centuries, is well able to deliver his word and give us new ground if we're hungry to take it. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Right, we have 5 minutes to make some sort of response. We better be quick. So, good to have the musicians up. Have you got faith for a response? Or Alistair got faith for a response? Yeah, what? Well, can we have a little discussion here? We've not only got 5 minutes, so better be quick. You know what? They keep deferring, so I'm just going to do it myself. Okay, why don't we stand? The response is going to be very... The heart of God is very simple to you this morning. As we've gone through this morning, the Holy Spirit you would have felt something. At various points, you will have felt, oh, I've settled in that area. I've got discouraged. I've got cynical. I've settled in that area. Oh, that sin has a hold of my life and I'm living with it now. These 5 points, as I went through them, you may think, you know what? I'm not believing God's promises the way that I used to. I don't know what it is, but I would suspect it's virtually impossible unless you've really hardened your heart for at some point in that whole message, not because it's me, but because actually it's the scriptures. At some point in that whole message, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit will have touched your heart. And my basic principle of living is very simple. When the Holy Spirit touches you and prompts you, respond. Not in the moment. Whatever you're prompted about, yes, respond in the moment, but make sure you don't talk yourself out of it, like we all have the possibility of doing. So I'm simply going to say, if there's something in this morning's message that you feel touched by and you want to say, Lord, I receive that, I want to follow that through, then I simply want, as the musicians play and take us into this last song, I just want you to come to the front and then I will simply pray for you to finish the meeting off. Okay, so you guys go for it, and as soon as you want to start coming forward, come forward and do business with God. Just this beautiful verse again. After 110 years of walking with the Lord, we had some people come out and testify today, God's faithfulness. But Joshua, 110 years of age. Now I'm about to go the way of the earth. You know, with all your heart and soul, not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. Did every promise work out exactly as he thought it would? Did it all happen in the time and he wanted it to happen in? Was he still believing for things that were promised even when he died? Yes, yes, and yes to all of those things. But we want to thank you this morning, Father, that you are a real God. You're an awesome God. You're an all-powerful God. And you're an incredible, loving, faithful God, who is true to your word and true to your promises. And we want to say very simply this morning, Lord, that you know how at times we can get wearied in the spiritual battle that goes on, the fight for faith that we're in. And you know, Lord, how we can be wearied. But we want to say afresh this morning, thank you that you've not, thank you for all you've done, thank you for all you've given, thank you for all that we have in our lives. But we want to say this morning, we don't want to camp where we are. We want to the day we die to be pioneers, to be Joshuas, who step by step continue to step into all that you have promised with us, and a people that don't take no for an answer, because in saying yes and in persevering and being tenacious, in believing you, Lord, we are expressing that we trust you. And so I pray for every person here very simply. People will have come for a whole multitude of reasons, but you see every heart that's here before you. You see every prompt that's been responded to. And I want to pray that this would not be a moment, but you would do something in people's hearts and lives that causes them to set up their account and do whatever you're telling them to do out of the response they're making this morning. And I pray, Lord, that somehow out of this morning's message, that step by step, bit by bit, they would be a people who never stop believing you and taking hold of that for which you have taken hold of them for. So we commit one another to you. We thank you you've been here this morning. And we want to say, Lord, there's no greater adventure than putting our hand in your hand and walking into all the things you have for us. We bless you, we praise you, we adore you, and we pray you'll fill each of us as we go from this place into the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.